Welcome to Wise, a podcast for women introverts, sensitives, and empaths. I'm your host, Ashley Pardo, business coach, functional nutritional therapy practitioner, and former private chef. Wise is all about mindset, entrepreneurship and business, food and nutrition, spirituality, relationships, and ultimately living your purpose, all through the lens of the sensitive, introverted, and empathic woman. I know you might feel like the information out there isn't suited for you, but this is, because we're powerful, strong, and deep, and we've got potential. Let's begin to let that out right now.
Hey friends, welcome back to Wise. We're going to get right into it today. One of my goals ongoing with the podcast is to try to cut out fluff. So we're going to start doing that right now and try to make it a little bit more efficient, cleaner, make sure that everything is deliberate. Today, we're going to be talking about emotional eating and how it needs a rebrand and a couple ways that you can shift your emotional eating to something that I like to call conscious comfort. I do think that emotional eating is just like a really normal thing, likely something that isn't going to go away for many of us. And the more that we embrace that and work with it and not against it, the less it'll be a behavior that makes you feel like shit, just straight up, right? It's something that many of us are ashamed about. It makes us feel crappy. It is something that we do in secret. And I think that there are several ways that we can actually use this behavior to get to know ourselves a little bit more and to make it just not be a thing that we're scared of. I know it's a huge thing for many people, which is why I want to talk about it. But before we get into that, a couple reminders. So noteworthy applications are open right now by the time this podcast comes out, which I am so excited about. Noteworthy is my 16-week online business group coaching mentorship, 16 weeks of you and me in a group. Noteworthy is a hybrid of one-on-one and group coaching. So I basically take you through my full online business curriculum and you get 24/7 support from me. You get to connect to the group. We have group calls. We have worksheets and practice and things that you can do in order to get your online business off the ground, especially if you classify yourself as an introverted or sensitive person. I do think that there is a different approach to business that's necessary for us if you have that type of personality, especially if you feel like, you know, you don't want to be visible, like you feel kind of weird about quote unquote being an influencer or whatever it is. I am passionate about business just as I am about food because, like I say, all the time, it is a vehicle for growth. So food and body was a big vehicle for me. Business has been the other one because just like we need food, we also, you know, need money in life. And we, beyond that, we need a livelihood. And if we're lucky, a passion. And Noteworthy is my way of teaching you that and just seeing the success that clients of mine have had, how they have grown, and it just makes me the happiest. And I would love to help you as well. So if you want to join the group or you have a question or you want to apply for it, the first step is the application. You can find that in the show notes or in my Instagram bio at Ashley K. Pardo. We are going to start on the week of March 28th, but our first call is not going to be until the week after the first, or actually second week of April. And if you have any questions, just send me a DM and we can talk about it. The next thing is that the next round of Intuitive Macros begins on May 2nd. So I will be continuing to talk about that as always. The next thing is that this podcast name is changing. So probably over the next month, I will have that ready. And I can't wait to share the new name with you and all of the new stuff. I have been kind of playing around with something called Midjourney AI to help me create the cover for it. I actually don't know if I'm going to use that, but I've really fallen in love with AI and ChatGPT. I will likely talk about that eventually. And the last thing is that my best friend Kim Shaper and I are starting a podcast. I'm actually going to be with Kim by the time when this podcast comes out, and I'll be with her for a couple weeks so we can get the podcast started. And we can't wait to share that with you either. If you love podcasts that have like two best friends just chatting every week, which are my favorite podcasts, honestly, or solo podcasts of people that I love, which I'm so grateful to you for tuning in, because many of you tell me that, that podcast is going to be for you as well. We just want to be really real and raw and open and honest about our own lives. We're both divorced. We have been through eating disorder recovery. We have very similar like family situations. So we can't wait to share that with you. So I am going to try to keep this episode short today about emotional eating. And I want to continue to talk about this topic because confession, or maybe not confession, I am an emotional eater, and you probably are too. And for a long time, I denied this part of myself. I suppressed it. I pretended like I wasn't. I pretended like I didn't like food. Basically, I wouldn't accept myself because I'm like, I shouldn't like this. I shouldn't enjoy food in this way. I shouldn't use food to soothe. And the thing is that if you're a sensitive person, it's likely that food elicits a reaction, some sort of reaction from you. Like it gets you super excited. It might touch on like your culture or nostalgia. It makes you feel like it elicits like warmth. It's celebration. You just find it like super delicious. Your brain might be like heightened from eating delicious things. Like there's definitely fireworks in my brain when I eat delicious things. And I can't really change that about myself. Like, what am I going to do? Like get a lobotomy? Like, I'm not even sure if that does that. Please excuse me for, you know, obviously that was a joke. We are not cutting it out. But we can't really change our brains, right? We can in the sense that we can create, you know, we can work with our neuroplasticity and create new grooves and break patterns and untangle patterns and things like that. But when it comes to the way that like your brain responds and reacts to things, we likely can't change it, even with a lobotomy. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong with that. And the thing is that for many of us, like food isn't just fuel. For many people, it is. And I think that when I first started in like my own health and fitness journey, I just saw a lot of people who like really didn't have a lot of pleasure from food or didn't care that much about eating. And I'm like, this isn't relatable to me. And I have found that the more that I embrace this part of myself that like really loves food and finds joy in it, I've always been that way. Literally, like my entire business and life is about that, right? To a certain extent. Obviously, it's important for us to find food, to find joy in other places as well. But it's important for us to, you know, accept that part of ourselves, because the more you accept it, the less control it's going to have over you, the less grip it's going to have over you if you accept it. And at this point, like, I really don't have any behaviors around food that are problematic to me at all. I, you know, have my normal, like I might overeat just slightly at dinner, or I might just like have days where I like, you know, eat like crap all day. Rarely, but like it happens. I don't make any of it wrong, right? If you know my framework around like daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, rarely, then yeah, maybe I'll talk about that in another episode. But I think like that acceptance and that working with myself instead of against myself has allowed me to just like not do any of those things anymore, and really not having a desire to do any of those things anymore. And in the case of emotional eating, it's, I don't have a desire to make my body feel bad about it. Like causing any sort of like physical discomfort with the way that I eat just like isn't appealing to me anymore. And we know that that is something that comes from power versus like saying, I don't want to do that behavior. That behavior isn't attractive to me. That behavior isn't appealing to me, versus force, which is like, I'm going to white knuckle and willpower myself out of this behavior, which means that it's going to be temporary. Your autonomy here matters. Like intrinsically we have to at some point be motivated to do these things on our own. Of course, we can get support and guidance, and that can be the first part of the process. But eventually, it would behoove us to have that intrinsic motivation, because like, we eat for life, right? And it's okay if like you need like an accountability buddy or even a coach at some point. But I think that that true power comes from seeing the value that certain habits and actions give us. And then we just like want to do them, because at some point it becomes easier to do them than to not do them. You know, for example, like eating unhealthy, I'm going to feel that in 2 days. I'm going to want to eat healthy. Not moving my body like doesn't feel good. It feels better to me to do them at this point, even if it might be, you know, I don't feel like doing these things all the time, right? We also know that when we deny or suppress anything, it comes out 10 times harder, right? It's a law of physics that I made up. I said that in the Instagram post that this podcast is based on, that the harder you restrict, the harder you're going to binge, usually in an equal and opposite way. So the degree to which you restrict is going to be equal and opposite to the degree to which you binge later. At some point, it's going to be looming and it's inevitable. So the more that you, again, deny and suppress any part of yourself, if you're somebody who like desires these things, like I like food, I love food, I want a chocolate or a treat every day, something to look forward to, like embrace those parts of yourself. In the next few episodes, I will do another episode on like the basics of nutrition so we can actually learn how we can fit these things in. But the main thing is that everything comes down to calorie balance. So as long as you stay within your calorie needs, dependent upon what you want to happen with your body, whether you want to maintain, lose, or gain, all valid, then you would be discerning towards how many calories you can eat in a day. And that is important to know, right? I really do think that that is an important principle to embody if you want to sort of have a say and feel in control over how you feel, because portion control does matter, right? And those two truths can live together. The fact that like we want to feel good and calories matter and that we want to eat these things, right? We also know that rules don't work, and rules just make you want to rebel, and you won't fundamentally change if you have an external rule. You'll only change if you see the value in doing certain things and keeping your promises and seeing how good you feel and how confident you've become from doing these things consistently and how much character you develop and how much grit you can handle and how much capacity you have. All of those things makes the behaviors worth it, right? So we know that a rule is not a guideline. A guideline is like a principle, and those will always matter. That's just like reality and truth around like nutrition and movement principles and the impact that they have on our bodies. But a rule is immediately going to make you want to do the opposite. So the moment you tell anyone, including me, you can't have sugar, what do you think I'm going to be thinking about? Sugar. When you tell someone don't emotionally eat, what are they going to do? They're going to emotionally eat, likely in secret, and they're going to feel bad about it, and they're going to feel shameful. It is important with food to put all of your behaviors out in the forefront and just like really say to yourself, would I be okay? And again, this doesn't happen overnight, but it's just important to be exposed to these bits of information that like, would I do this behavior in front of other people? Would I intend to be able to show? Can I intend to show, you know, my eating in public or around other people? That's kind of a good barometer, right? To make sure that like you are in alignment with yourself. And because we know a lot of the eating in secret that we do or have done, we wouldn't want to do with other people. We wouldn't ever want to show anybody. Like for me right now, eating with other people, like sugar and treats and stuff like that, is important to me. And it is always with other people. You know, of course I do things by myself sometimes, but like I prioritize that with other people. So it's always with the intention of being in front of others. But with food, there's this like hiding, this shame, this secrecy that happens, this like refusal to be honest with ourselves that makes things really tough. And that comes from denying these things, denying that you might be an emotional eater, denying that you like food. And think of what emotional eating, the emotional eating that we're used to, feels like. It's chaotic, it's frenzied, it's secret. Like, you're not actually tasting the food because you just want to rush to finish the food, because like you just want to, like, it's like this weird balance between like wanting to like want a lot of whatever it is that you're eating, but like also wanting it to be over quickly at the same time, even though you also want it to last forever, which is why we keep eating, knowing that like pleasure from food are like little moments, like short moments. And that's like reality. It's like not that fun to know that like, you know, pleasure from food is like in 5 second increments. It's like, damn, it's like really not that much. Versus if I think of my own eating before, it was like a black hole that I would fall into and just like, all right, I'm going into the abyss. I'm not going to get out of the abyss until like my body literally can't handle things anymore. And you know that the recovery from that can be like a 3 or 4 day process of binging and like feeling so bad and so shameful in your mind and your body. And that feeling of like, oh shit, I did it again. Oh my God, I can't believe I've succumbed to this behavior. It's so shameful to feel that way. And that is why I'm so passionate about teaching you about this and talking about this, because I don't want anyone to feel that way. And it is a process, right? So it's not like, oh, I listened to this podcast and now I'm like, it's a light switch and I'm just not going to emotionally eat anymore. We can take steps to get there. And I'll talk about those in a moment. And the thing is that emotional eating is a skill. It's a skill that we learned at some point that it was effective in soothing us. It was effective in bringing us safety and bringing us back to baseline. For me, when I was a child, when I was like 6 or 8 years old, food was my safe place. It was where I would go to binge. And yes, I was bulimic back then, probably maybe 10 or so. But that was my like safe space. And like, as a sensitive person, and think back to yourself, like, what type of personality do you have? Like, when you were little, did somebody tell you that your feelings were too much, that you couldn't express yourself? Did you not feel safe to? If you don't feel safe to be yourself, you're going to find safety in a lot of other things, which for me was decades of treating myself this way with food. And I know how this feels, right? So I love this quote that one of my clients shared with me from Remsa Menaken, that is, you know, when it comes to safety, that it is protective and not defective. Because automatically, if we engage in this behavior, we start thinking, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me. Oh my gosh, I'm defective. I'm bad. I'm shameful. When it's really, you're just trying to protect yourself. So having this understanding and having compassion for yourself, which just means trying to accept the behavior, acceptance, not as complacency, acceptance as a pushing off point of a new way of being, a new way of thinking. Here are some steps that you can take to kind of move out of this behavior and to start feeling better and to really move it towards what's called, what I like to call, conscious comfort. The first thing is to just observe what you're already doing. Like, don't change anything. Maybe try to have some form of self-monitoring, which is writing your food down or without quantities, if that makes you feel better, if it's tracking your food. Having some sort of self-monitoring can help you actually see what you're doing concretely, instead of like the whole day feeling like a big bout of chaos, which we know doesn't feel great, right? So first step, bring awareness to what you are already doing. Don't try to change it. Just bring awareness to what you're already doing and ask yourself if it aligns to what you want to be doing. Now, I'm not talking about binge eating disorder here, which is a whole other thing. And I will talk more about binge eating eventually, because I think that is a huge topic and something that I feel that I have a big solution for it's not just like one solution. It's a multifaceted solution. But the next thing here would be to try to eat regular meals and to eat enough. So if you go to tdeecalculator.net, you can get a general ballpark of what your calorie needs should be. You can also check out my How to Count Your Macros free webinar. If you go to my Instagram bio, ashleypardo.com/Instagram, you'll see it there in free masterclasses. But really trying to, or just looking at like what you discovered in your self-monitoring and your observation without changing anything, is really seeing like, how much am I actually eating? And if you're not eating enough, that is going to, whether it's overall quantity or if it's carbohydrate or fat, or if you're just like restricting, mental restriction, like I can't have sugar, I can't have these things. And again, this is an involved process, right? It's not overnight that it gets unraveled or handled or whatever it is. But really trying to see like, okay, am I actually eating my regular meals? Can I sit down at my meals? Can I have a protein, carb, fat at every meal so that everything feels balanced and my hunger is, you know, I take care of my appetite, I honor my appetite, I am eating. That is really important, right? The next thing is to make sure that you are including your non-negotiables, at least something every day that you look forward to when you eat. So I have a framework that is, you know, things that we eat daily, monthly, weekly, a little bit less than that. And that is kind of how I categorize things. So like, I really love my sidecar donuts and my gluten-free pastries, but like, I'm probably having those like twice a month, if that. Things that I have daily are like, I really like right now these toffee chips from Trader Joe's. I might have a spoonful of my dulce leche. I really love Oat House granola butter, stuff like that, that like doesn't have starch mixed in. That for me is when I start like, you know, foods become more hyper palatable if they have sugar, fat, and starch. So think of like a piece of chocolate versus a brownie that has starch added to it, or like a cake versus like a custard. It's going to be different, right? Ice cream is very hyper palatable usually because it has texture and it's very high fat. So that might be just as hyper palatable as like a brownie. So kind of categorizing foods in that way and having something that, you know, one or two or even three things that you can look forward to every day and make sure they just fit into your calorie needs, and like own the fact that you're eating them, own the fact that you love it, and own the fact that you enjoy them, right? The next thing would be to have skills, and I will do a whole episode on pattern interruptions, but we will introduce them here, to have skills to take yourself out of that heightened, dysregulated state where you're like, oh my gosh, like something happened and now I need to go eat. Start creating skills to get yourself out of that behavior. Something that you can do is, and this is hard, right? Like it requires a pattern interruption. It requires immediate distraction. And the reason I say distraction is because when a house is on fire and you need to put the fire out and get out of the house, one of my clients shared this with me, this analogy with me, and I thought it was awesome. When the house is on fire, because we've been working through her own emotional eating and some binging and stuff like that, when the house is on fire, you're not trying to sit there and figure out why. You're just like, I need to get the F out of this house and this fire needs to be put out. That is distraction. So we distract ourselves in the moment to get ourselves back into a more regulated state so we can make a decision. So these would be things like splashing your face with water, going outside and taking a walk and putting the sun on your face. I like the idea of like a little comfort kit where you keep like a stress ball or, you know, something that can't, like something like essential oils or Tic Tacs or something that like do things with your senses to take you out of that dysregulated state and brain space. So again, it could even be laying in your bed for a second, physically removing yourself from the environment, setting a timer for 5 minutes to put space in between the reaction. Because when we eat in that state, we're not ever actually tasting anything. And that's when we go into the black hole and that's when we go into the abyss. And we know that that doesn't work, right? Or it doesn't make us feel good. So we need sort of that distractor right there in the middle so that we can get ourselves back to baseline, get calmed, get regulated, and then make a decision afterwards. So we have some there. I like working with temperature. I like working with senses and smells, like a candle. I also like just like putting my feet on the ground, opening my fists, like closing and opening fists, shaking my arms out a little bit, shaking my whole body, doing stuff like that. That's going to get your nervous system back to regulation. I haven't even talked about the nervous system yet. Perhaps we will do a whole episode on that. But this is a nervous system thing, right? Like your nervous system is an imprint of what you currently find safe. And if things are outside your window of tolerance, so what you currently can handle emotionally and what your capacity is, if something is outside of that, you're going to feel dysregulated, right? So the tool, we do these tools, these things that distract us in the moment, the pattern interruption, the state change, listening to music, like think of your senses and things, that think of active things that you can do. And I will, again, do a whole episode on this. So we can widen that window of tolerance of what we can tolerate, because in that moment, we might think like, oh my gosh, if I don't get this food, I'll literally die. We need to see, our nervous system needs to see that even if we don't get the food in that moment, we won't actually die. Like this is a matter of survival sometimes, and it's a matter of protection and safety. So, and again, all of these things kind of work together in tandem to create that healthy relationship with food and that like that ease and that freedom that we seek. Once we do the pattern interruption, then we can be conscious about how we want to engage. So we can, you know, I suggest, the way that I suggest emotionally eating is to do it with hunger and to do it with presence. And that's the opposite of what we usually do. Usually we do it when we're full or where we pay no attention to our hunger and we're not actually present. We're using it as a tool to distract, to get us out of the moment. So instead of creating a state change where like that is productive, we try to create a state change with the food, which is effective initially, but then it never actually ends up working and it doesn't actually like fix any problem. Again, effective in the moment, but doesn't actually work like long term. So we want to be able to kind of be able to put a magnifying glass on this and be like, can I do this with hunger? And can I also be present as I do it? Which is again, these are the opposite of how we do things. So like a way that I emotionally eat is just to like count the thing as a meal. So like I shared that I will have a donut and I will have like a protein shake alongside the donut and that'll just be like my breakfast. Sometimes if I have a dinner planned, I will just have like a full on bagel and maybe something else. Bonds of mac and cheese, like no protein, because I know that like I need that comfort in that moment. I'm not like a chip person. I'm more of like a sweets, starchy, fatty, buttery person. If it's just butter, that's fine with me. No, it needs something else, but you know, a little bit of salted Kerrygold is good on its own. But really try to figure out like, what are the foods that make me feel comforted? What are the foods that make me feel like I can consciously have comfort? And that way I'm being present and eating with the stress or the emotions or whatever it is, instead of because of them. You know, I'm working with myself, not against myself. And you are present the entire time and calm. So making sure that like you're in that regulated state before you eat, because then you can actually access like the parts of your brain that make the rational and logical decision making, which should be how we eat with food. Again, maybe not right now, but these are the steps that we can start to take, which are observation without changing, which is and then making sure you're eating enough, meeting your calorie needs, having your non-negotiables, being sure that like you can create pattern interruptions and state changes, and then doing it consciously and owning the fact that you want a little comfort right now. There isn't anything wrong with that. Like I am a person who like almost like lives life to like feel soothed and comforted. And I know it might not seem that way because like I also do hard things every day. Like I exercise and I run a business and I put effort into myself all day. But I'm also like, I love to be touched. Like I love to get massages. I love to like be cozy in my clothes and at my house and with my friends. And I love, you know, food and feeling cozy and again, feeling comforted. Like I love words of affirmation. I love physical touch, all of these things. So like, and that is just the way that I am. And the more that we fight the way that we are, the more it's going to come back and bite us in ways that don't work. So I hope that this was helpful. I hope you took away some tangible tips that will be effective for you next time. Remember to meet yourself where you are. So like perhaps, you know, don't remember tiny and tolerable. You need to meet yourself in your own window of tolerance. And I will do an episode just on the window of tolerance and trauma responses and stuff like that, because emotional eating is frankly a trauma response for many of us. And remember, behavior doesn't change like a light switch. It happens little and little, tiny and tolerable, subtle and doable. Let me know if this was helpful to you. I appreciate you all for listening and can't wait to talk to you the next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Wise. If you want to get in touch with me, or if you want to submit a question to be answered on this podcast, please send me a DM and follow me on Instagram at Ashley K. Pardo. I love hearing from you. My DMs are always open. And as always, if you enjoyed the show, please share it with somebody that you love and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes.